You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Welcome in. It is Tuesday here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network after a nice long holiday weekend. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh ready to get back in the command chair, have some fun. A lot, Kevin, has happened since last time we were on the air Thursday and Friday, and now it's Tuesday. But not much in the way of moves here with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, as JP, our producer, sent us a nice little clip before the show of the reactions of when KD said, I want out of here.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting a little annoyed, to be honest with you, Donnie. The most recent report wasn't, I guess, a report as much as Shams Charania went on Pat McAfee and apparently said the Nets are making moves. He signed TJ Warren and Edmund Sumner today. As if KD and Kyrie will be around next season. Hey, man, that's a lie. Or you're being lied to. Either way, Donnie, I don't buy that for 1 second, Donnie.
This is going to be interesting because I had thought, you know, once that trade rumor kicked in, he has that short list of teams, you make some phone calls at the end of 24 hours, you pretty much know what the best deal on the table is, you want this over with and you want to move on. And then there was the, oh, yeah, these guys really like to get after it on holiday weekends. So let's put everything in the NBA on hold until we get back and now everybody's partied out. What is your timeline on, A, what the Nets are doing, and, B, when we're going to have resolution on both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant at this point?
You know, it's so interesting because I saw those Warren and Sumner deals and I thought, okay, maybe the Nets know a little bit more, and they're like, all right, let's grab these guys before the market heats up, because we already know what deal we're going to make. These guys fit money-wise and everything like that. What's interesting is we don't even have the money on the TJ Warren deal or the Sumner deal. It's just it's very interesting. I would anticipate, Donnie, by the end of the week, I would. But the one thing that I've been very annoyed by is I just don't feel like... And I know, you know, we've had times taking our shots or jabs, whatever, Woj, or but even a chance. But across the board, I have found the reporting on this all to be very subpar. I think we should be getting more consistent updates, one. And here's the other thing that I'm just not getting enough at all. All we got in terms of who's called was a very vague, more than half the league from Woj on the day of. Donnie, what are teams offering? Again, did the Pelicans put Brandon Ingram on the table? Did the Thunder call and put every single draft pick under God's earth that they have in that building on the table? Did the Celtics call and say, hey, listen, Jaylen Brown's on the table? Donnie, we didn't even know what Miami's offered. All we basically know is the Suns don't want to trade Devin Booker. I mean, come on. We have nothing. We're getting nothing on a daily basis on what is, again, easily the biggest story right now in the sports landscape.
Yeah, where are the beat writers at? Like, isn't that the question where, like, the ESPN is like, hey, look, Windhorse, you're going to sleep on LeBron's front lawn for the next 3 years. Okay, fine, I'll do it. And every day, no matter what, Kevin, he had a report on what was going on with LeBron, what he ate, where he was, what he thinks, and all that stuff. We're not getting that now. And also, you're talking about a league with insiders that basically is, you know, I have Rich Paul's ear. I have this agent's ear. I talk to this GM every day. You get leaked stories and information. Like, I'm surprised even over the weekend, you just didn't get the little midnight hit. Talk to somebody in Kevin Durant's party, which is probably him, really wants to go to Phoenix. Like, oh, here we go. You know what I mean? Or hey, we had that report on Phoenix on Saturday, but it looks like a mystery team, according to sources, has entered into the fray, and that team is in the Eastern Conference. Or just something like that that just pops up that feeds it. It's almost like it's gone dormant on the biggest superstar left to go, you know, change teams in the NBA.
And here's... This is going to be very complicated, and maybe you'll tell me this is ridiculous, but I honestly am starting to think that both Woj and Shams are playing ball with the Brooklyn Nets and doing whatever they can to help them, so that way they have a chance to be the first to break the story. Because it's so important to them to, you know, ground up all the retweets when the news breaks and say, I got it first, because DRS... How come I haven't just gotten a little, I don't know, 6-paragraph write-up on the Toronto Raptors' interest from one of these two guys? Hey, Masai Ujiri really loves Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has no interest, a lot of interest, some interest in playing in Toronto. Scotty Barnes is thrown off. Like, we're getting nothing from guys who make a living on consistently giving us stuff. And again, I know you might say, oh, well, Shams just gave you something in terms of, they're now operating like these guys are going to be on the team. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry, but it is. I mean, that is just ridiculous. Hey, we signed TJ Warren, Donnie. KD's
yes.
back. Come on now.
Yes, like they just signed two players that are basically just designed to fill a roster out by rules. It's like, all right, here they go. Nets are making moves. Let's see if that, or maybe it was, KD picked these two players personally here to try to help him make a championship run here with the Brooklyn Nets. But I was hoping it was gone because it'd be a great day to sort of, I don't know, break that story to come back and re-energize the week. But I do have a feeling this is going to be wrapped up sooner than later now that everybody's off of holiday and back in the offices and ready to go. But I'm just surprised at the leaking of information. Hey, saw KD at a club. Sources said he was hanging with this agent or this front office executive or this player said he looks at KD's. We haven't got any of that. And I love that. The soap opera, even if it's wrong in the NBA, sometimes is more fun than everything else. Well, it's a Tuesday. We are underway. Back at it here on Moneyline. Stay with us throughout the rest of the next 2 hours. Let's have some fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline. It is Tuesday. Donnie and Kevin. Till 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get in the mix, you know how to do it. If you had glizzies over the weekend, which I did, so delicious. I mean, so delicious. 844-843-6879. If you had burgers, anybody, I want to say throw down at the family events. Was any dust ups there? Any arguments over whether Shohei Ohtani was the better player over Aaron Judge? I mean, a lot happened over the weekend here that we need to get through, and we need the people to participate. And by the way, just a nice little segue here. It's Major League Baseball cards looking tasty, tasty. And maybe we go game by game for some of the hot spots here with home runs.
Sure.
But I do see spots where we have legitimate chances to take down some team totals on a Tuesday, which again, no surprise. For some reason, Tuesday seems like the, hey, you know what? Throw some bad pitchers out there on the slate, Kev.
It's just the way the calendar winds. I mean, my goodness. Spencer Howard is a road favorite, so that's maybe all you really need to know about that. But I will say at some point, I know we could do it now, whatever, but we got to talk a little bit about just the home run success. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Has it gone better than, as well as, or maybe less than you were expecting this all right now, because I feel like it's just going about as good as basically possible.
As good as possible. Like, it can't actually get any better. And I saw somebody, a couple people follow along and licked that fun. Like, all right, this one hit, that one hit. And then every once in a while you see somebody had, I want to say Saturday, it was like $5, all nine batters to hit home runs. It was like $900,000. And I got to laugh at it. Like, ah, ha, ha. And I said to myself, whoa. Like, imagine if, like, you're hanging on. You got, like, seven of the first nine guys in the door. Like, what are you doing watching those games? Because we're not talking about, hey, man, I probably was going to hit for, like, $1,100, which would be awesome, or $800, which is fantastic. Yeah. You're talking about, like, close to a million. I don't know what would happen if, like, the last leg was, I have two more at-bats out of Vladimir Guerrero. He gets one home run. I will be a millionaire? Unbelievable stuff.
Which, I think what you almost use that to put in the perspective of, you're not supposed to naturally just rip off a near 500 record on these. I mean, again, Donnie, what would you say the average number is that you're betting? Like plus 300 on average, maybe?
Yes, at least. Because, like, it seems like you get the plus 280s, like that low end of the spectrum. Most of them are between that 280, 300, 330, 340. But I've also cracked, just for every, as I would like to say, like for every like 280, I think I've hit just as many plus 440s in this range. You know, it's kind of wild. Where it's like, ooh, all those low numbers are hitting. No, it's almost like a crapshoot. Like the numbers, and also just to get into another level of it, the numbers don't dissuade me. I don't bet per number. Like I'll go before I look at any number. I don't even, matter of fact, Kevin, I don't even care. Like, ooh, that's a good price at 330. Let me put him in there. No, it's who's going to hit home runs. These eight guys, go press the button. There's no, I need more out of this guy. Or 440, it should be 6. No. I just press the button. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is.
I think that's a really good point. I think it's one, it speaks to how new the market is, right? For at least what I say, you and I, I don't want to try and, you know, present like I'm tagging along, but more I'm kind of here for the ride. I'm not doing really any of the work other than pushing you to, you know, press this down. But it's new in that, right? You would basically have to do this for probably a full year before you say, okay, I routinely know which numbers are near the range and which ones are bang on. And then you can start to cipher through. All right, you know what? Come on, plus 250. That needs to be plus 290. But also, and I know some people will be mad at this, but Don, at the end of the day, plus 250, plus 290. I mean, you're betting big numbers. You know what I mean? Like, the margin for error remains pretty big when you're dealing. Again, plus 250, plus 290. Who cares? I think the only world where a number, I would assume, for you, and be like, I can't do that, is if they start hanging plus 170s on these
guys. Exactly. And maybe that's coming down the line. But still, it's luck. Like, back-to-back nights, I took nine bets on home runs. And I was just sitting there waiting. Like, after even, like, the first, like, game. Or not even the first game's over. Like, a couple guys batted. Like, man, you know what? It wouldn't be that far-fetched to go 0-9. I mean, you're talking about home runs. It's not like a base hit, right? It's hard just to get a base hit in a baseball game, let alone predict a home run. And the fact of the matter is, like, just on that Saturday card, 280, 300, 420, and 440s. Like, and you say to yourself, like, okay, I'm four for this, or how's that add up? Like, you're hitting 3-1s and 4-1s. Like, they add up quickly. Like, you hit one plus 440, you're good for that night. Like, you're not going to get hurt at all, even if you have nine bets. How crazy that sounds. Like, all right, good. I got a 4-1 in the door. Let me get at least one more and then see what I can do. And all these guys just coming through, like, back-to-backs and crazy. And also, let's just say the efficiency rate, because there are some games where I'll have three or four or five guys in that lineup. It sounds dumb. Like, Don, you're so dumb. Why would you pick five guys on them? Because if the numbers make sense, I don't want to leave myself out. Even if the max is like 2 out of 5, you still cashed in that game. Oh, man, I picked the one guy here, and four other guys hit home runs. Like yesterday, the one interesting one was Toronto, which ended up only scoring one run on Cole Irvin, who does have decent numbers and decent splits home versus away, pitching for the Oakland Athletics. But let's just say there was Cole Irvin, the bad Cole Irvin, last year on the mound, where right-handers were smoking him. That might have been a game, Kevin, I bet seven Jays to hit home runs.
Yeah. Which, and again, for me, when you're dealing with the plus money, that's way better. If we were doing two plus bags, or we were doing hitter prop parlay,
Yes.
I'm like, no. That doesn't even make any sense. You narrow this down here. Let's get the three best guys. But yeah. With this, with plus money, you want as many cracks at it as you can, right? Now, of mm-hmm. course, the funny bit of it all was, you know, I don't know who you or what you had on the Saturday call, but I know on Friday, the standalone guy was Bucks, and obviously he came in and walk off dramatic fashion, which was phenomenal there, right? But I, on Friday, just kind of to give people the understanding, it wasn't DRS that you just ripped off 4 and 5 on home run props. But as I basically realized through you kind of presenting all this, it's really it's home run driven or, say, extra base hit driven, right? So the yes. other angle you could always play would be 2+ bags. Again, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you don't have really any reason to. But then you would have gone, if I'm not mistaken, 7-2
probably
on over yeah. 1.5 bases yeah. On that Friday, with the only losers, I think, being Darnell, who did get a hit, actually. And then I actually think Carlson, again, this was Friday's slate, ended up hitless. So not only down to your ball, you know, like a 4 and 5, obviously, which is a huge day for home runs. But if you were just doing straight bets on 2+ bags, it was successful. I really do think, again, the numbers that you formulate lend themselves to this market more so than a hitter prop parlay, because it's more about those big swings.
Yeah, it is more about those big swings. And maybe it's more, you know, to the point if you just did, or even if you could track, which, I mean, I have time, but it's like if I'm not going to bet, it's like, oh, I'll lose. Like, I'm not going to do it for an entire season, yeah. So why would I track for like a week and get bored of it? But almost the fact that we would line up, okay, home runs, and also this, which I don't know if I've had. I think I have at least one of those guys, but like the double shots. Like, here you would bet everybody hit a home run, and then double down for guys to hit like 2, because they're big numbers, some of these guys to hit 2. Oh. Now, that's getting out there. And you're talking about a market where it's, you know, where they tell you, like, oh, I don't like the, you know, long-term betting or buying down points in the NFL is a bad idea, which it is, because most of the time you're not really dangling on the hook, but you always remember, like, bought it down from 2, 3 to 2.5. They won by 3. Perfect. That's few and far between, to be honest, but you always remember, like, oh, I need that. But in Major League Baseball, I don't know how much difference that would be, where it's like, okay, is it going to be a short-term variance where you bet 9 guys tonight, 2 of them hit double-shot home runs, which are like, you know, 13 or 14 to ones on top of it? It would be fun short-term. I don't know how much better it would be long-term to do, but my goodness. Like, it's not even a sweat. Like, this is a lot of fun where you have, like, 5 games maybe involved and multiple guys in each game, which is great, because every time that watch buzzes for me, it could be a home run. I love it. I love this home run stuff. Come on back with us, Moneyline, on a Tuesday right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on Moneyline. You know the numbers. If you want to give us a call, it's Donnie and Kevin here. 844-843-6879 on the grid. It's already Tuesday. And by quite frankly, this is a long weekend. Sometimes it's hard to get back into the saddle. But I got to tell you, I keep catching myself and it's nice. Like, I want to say Monday. Like, hey, back at it on a Monday. But it's already mm-hmm. Tuesday afternoon. So we could start to see that, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And also, you know what I was doing today for the first time in a while? You know what we get ready for, K-Dub, here in the content business. Might not be a big deal to you guys out there with normal lives and normal jobs, but we in the content business go, and when is that All-Star game again? When is it? Is it this week? Is it next week? Because, my goodness. And also, I'm assuming they did this again this year, right? Baseball takes that entire week off and doesn't get started back up until Friday. Boy, they don't know what they do to them. And also, when you have center stage, this is bad economics. To be like, you know, we take a whole week off in the summer when really we're the only thing going. Is that smart business, Kevin? Is it smart? What's the NBA do, by the way? Well, what is their delay on the All-Star weekend? Do they take a week off too? Wrapped around the weekend?
So what do they do? They do dunk contest and all that is Saturday. So Friday they're doing rookie sophomore. I actually think they were playing on like that Thursday, like real
were
games.
They?
And then maybe back for real basketball games. Also from Sunday, back for real maybe Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, so they take about a week
then. They take a break.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying, Donnie, in terms of how many days do we have with no baseball?
Well, they finish up what? That Sunday night, last game.
Yeah.
Nothing Monday. Home run derby, what, Tuesday, I believe? Game Wednesday. Nothing Thursday? Is that what it is? Or is it home run derby what? Monday? I think it's home run derby
All-Star
Monday, isn't
game...
it?
Hold on. The All-Star game isn't on the weekend.
Tuesday. No. Uh-uh. It's on Tuesday, right?
How do you feel about that? Oh, you're right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's Monday home run derby, so Tuesday's the game. Then Wednesday
well,
and Thursday.
I think the day before.
Yeah. So at least they get it going that way. It just feels like they're off for like 3 years
saying.
Because nothing is going on.
Yeah,
the summer league's already done too
course.
At that point. The 17th, yeah.
Probably, but I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah.
Like, but again, we are not. Baseball just doesn't really have a big ability. You know what they probably should do is maybe try and move up the trade deadline maybe. But didn't they move up the trade deadline already?
I don't know. Did they? I don't even remember.
Baseball is how long does it get until – like people are talking about the baseball trade deadline, Donnie. So like let's just say the season normally begins in April.
Yeah.
It'll be like mid-May. And people will be like,
yes.
Man, what kind of bat do you think they need to add? What kind of arm do you think they need to add?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's, I guess, where you try and fill the gaps because – I will say this. I have actually had a few brief conversations. I don't know if you have with people just, you know, off air talking ball. Like, who are the big bats and who are the big arms of this trade deadline? Someone went, I think Trey Mancini. I went, you got to be kidding me.
That's like, that's the prize.
Right.
You're giving up three top prospects for Trey Mancini. Let's see. Bring up trade deadline in Major
like
League
ones
Baseball.
To watch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wonder who would it be because, quite frankly, you're right. We always talk about, well, they're probably going to get the best bat, get the best pitch. Like, you usually have those guys clear defined already by, like, the starting part of the season. Like, this guy's going to be on the move. This team's going to be sellers. But as I take a look at, let me just see, Frankie Montas, Ramon Laureano, Luis Castillo, Tyler Molly, Nelson Cruz, Josh Bell,
Whoa.
Victor Robles, Wilson Contreras, Wade Miley, Trey Mancini, Anthony Santander, Andrew Benintendi, Zach Greinke, Brian Reynolds. Like, there's no Turner combined with Max Scherzer.
Yeah, who compiled that list out of curiosity there? Just like,
this is MLB.
Revamped list.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, this is, it says, I don't know if it's revamped up because it actually says May 22nd when I post
See?
This in.
See,
so,
again, mid-May.
Yeah.
We got to start pumping out trade deadline content. You can, even though you're 6+ weeks away, not eat more, maybe. Hold on. Yeah, you're all of June and all of July away. So, I mean, you're about 10 weeks away from the deadline. Again, baseball's like, all right, let's start talking about who's getting traded. But, see, all right, let me make the trade deadline saucy. And this is right up your alley.
Yeah.
Miami Marlins. Are you taking phone calls on Alcantara?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, but you also, Donnie, you were in Miami, would be a perennial playoff team because you would have kept Yelich, Stanton, Ozuna.
Yeah, we'd be running
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you'd be,
They let Jeter go. They fire a couple like assistant GMs. So Kim Ng, I guess, is now in charge. But I don't know if anything's changed. It's the old story like, hey, man, our bottom line looks great. Even though we have three people in our ballpark, we steal from the top, and we're so profitable. Let's just keep this wheel spinning. Yep, Alcantara, sure. Ooh, look at this. We got the Yankees' best prospects in single A. We'll see them in 6 years. We can turn them all over for better prospects as well. Like, I'm not. Like, you have a guy that's going to win the Cy Young. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you probably still have him. Yes, you may still have him, like, arbitration eligible. But you're right. Their MO with that franchise is like, hey, man, Yelich is really good. Yeah, let's get rid of him. Like, I remember before, like, when the Phillies, like, pipe dream was to get JT Realmuto. I'm like, man, this guy's an outrageous catcher in Miami. I was like, this is like a building block. Like, nobody has good catchers. Yeah, let's just give up on this guy in his prime. It's crazy.
It is bizarre when you run through, like, the amount of guys. Hold on, let me see. Oh, he signed a deal, actually. Oh.
When was it? Like, 2 years ago, probably?
That. Let's see, 5 years, $56 million. I can't get this thing to load.
Just buying out his arbitration years, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it kicked basically this year almost, it seems as if. So, yeah, I mean, they've got him under
They've got a club option on him in 2027 for $21 million.
Yeah, he's going nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
unless I want Mike Trout.
Yeah, right. Which they don't, right? They don't.
Exactly.
Okay, so all right, so I can't drum up any interest there. What else can I try? I mean, we did the Angels thing, so I won't rehash that too much. But where else could I drum up some interest here? The Giants have nothing. Like, a lot of these teams don't. Like, no, like, I can't pretend that Texas is going to trade Corey Seager, right? Like, they're not, like, they're going to ride that ship out. White Sox do anything crazy? Like, can they sell? No, right? Like, they have to try and compete at a high level?
Yes, correct. Like, they're in it to win it, even though they're really struggling. But as I'm going through, like, you know, I'm on the article where it's a few of these guys talking about, like, what these teams might need and who's, like, up in the air. Like, you keep just seeing, like, Frankie Montas, Madison Bumgarner. I don't know why you would ever want that guy. Like, you know, Ramon Laureano, same guy. Josh Hader says unlikely to be traded in 2022. But I guess his numbers are going to start to creep up with how much salary he makes. Like, the prize on the market is, like, it says Cubs set huge asking price for Wilson Contreras. All right. I mean, the Yankees are always in the market for, you know, a good catcher to try to see if they can ante up that position. And these guys like Christian Walker of the Arizona Diamondbacks, it just doesn't seem like we're – now, again – we didn't really see a combo deal between Max Scherzer and Trey Turner either. So some of these big names, but it seems like this is like, Luis Castillo for the Reds, because the Reds always have somebody average that they can pawn off onto somebody else. And maybe they can at this point. Maybe they can, and it always seems like the Yankees are in that. Or like even Kyle Hendricks, who I think stinks. MLB teams expected to pursue Hendricks because I don't know what the Cubs actually are doing. The Cubs won a World Series just a few years ago. Monster market team saw that every night. I'm like, you know what? It's time to get back to profitability. But just unbelievable. I mean, from an outsider's perspective where I'm a fan of another team, I love that because you'd say to yourself, like, yeah, they probably should have signed, you know, Bryce Harper at the time. They probably could have kept Chris Bryant. They have really good core baseball team. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know what? Time's up because we want to make money, not because it's probably for the betterment of the franchise.
All right, I'll try and spice it up a little bit here. Now, this would require teams, though, that aren't bad to make odd decisions. One of these teams has done this plenty of times. That would be the Guardians. Remember when they were, like, legitimately going to the playoffs and traded away Clevenger?
Yes.
I mean, is there a chance that they'll take calls on Shane Bieber because they're not going to want to pay him top dollar?
Yes.
Like maybe Shane Bieber enters the market?
Absolutely. That's a great franchise to bring up at that point where they look like they're heading in the right direction and then just say, we're one game back of the, wild card with 60 to play. Let's give up on our best pitcher. And some of that's going to fuel everything. We've seen that in the past, but that is a franchise that's known for. Doesn't really matter. We'll try. Like, the whole argument with Cleveland was, why do you own a Major League Baseball team if you're an owner? Well, I mean, you do want to make money, but most people nowadays, these aren't family-run organizations like from the ground up back in the day where it's like, hey, you know what? We don't have the amount of cash that Mr. Microsoft has. These guys are all flush with massive accounts, and it was Francisco Lindor, beloved in that city, an unbelievable player. The fans loved him. Nobody wanted to see him go, and then it was like, well, yeah, I don't know if we can afford him. And the backlash was, if you can't afford to keep Francisco Lindor on your team, the point of you owning a team is what? And it's so true at that point. Because what are you in this for? Obviously, we know you're in to make money, but you're making money hand over fist in just the accumulation of how much your franchise goes up every single year. Because even if you told a billionaire, hey, look, you're going to lose $50 million a year in cash flow out of your team, but if you wait 10 years, you're going to be worth another $3 billion more, they would say, this is the greatest investment I've ever had. And it looks like the Indians are like, hey, man, I want my pay this year. We can't take Lindor, which, I mean, you got to get in there, get out at this point. But that's a great look, though, for the Guardians, where they're the type of team that, like, hey, do you want our best player in the middle of a race? Yeah, go ahead and take him.
Like, you mentioned the Cubs. Cleveland was who they played in that World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have held on and won it, right? And, you know, it shows how things can quickly change. Maybe Bieber's there. If we stick with this, I got another name I could throw out there, but we're rocking.
Yep, rocking and rolling here on a Tuesday. Get involved, 844-843-6879. Long balls on Tuesdays. See if we can pick a few out tonight and have some fun. Come on back with us, Donnie and Kevin, in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline here on a Tuesday, having some fun spinning around some topics here. We're waiting on the Moneyline special, Kevin, which is something ridiculously breaks during our time. Hasn't done it yet, but I think they will. And I think there's a topic out here that a lot of people are looking at, and quite frankly, maybe the next few weeks will start even picking up more steam. And that's college football right now, with the realignment, particularly of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Basically, the Big Ten saying, give me your two best teams and go deal with it. Now, as I look at this, you know me. I don't like the Pac-12. Basketball bores me a little bit. Football is, I don't know. And I know we have West Coast listeners out here. And it's I don't really think it's an East Coast bias. I just, if the Pac-12 had, I don't know, Alabama in it, but hey, man, I like the Pac-12. I'll stay up to watch these games. It just doesn't, you know, get my attention, so to speak. So we have those two teams move over. My favorite thing that I saw today, and I really thought it was an Onion article. Anybody knows what the Onion is? You know, fake stories, funny headlines, you read it, it's like a parody. Where the Pac-12 was basically saying today, we're going to immediately start to negotiate on our new TV rights deal. And I say to myself, like, based on what organization, or should I say what network, is like, you know what? The rocket to the moon that we want to attach ourselves to, that's the Pac-12 right now. Help me out with this. What did that even mean?
It almost is one of those things where they're saying, do you know when the current one is supposed to expire by chance?
No, I don't, but I don't know if that gets ripped up. It has to be within, they wouldn't be renegotiating. Okay, it's going to end this year. It's got to be something with you, because a lot of times like 7, 8, 9, 10-year deals. I don't know exactly when it ends. I'll do some research here while you're
Reason I bring that up is, let's just hypothetically say the deal is going to expire in 3 years' time, right? In 3 years, it's very live. The Pac-12 doesn't exist. There's an additional report we'll probably get to here in a minute around the Pac-12. So the reason if you're the Pac-12, you need to run this up is maybe one of these big-time networks, maybe a streaming platform comes on in and says, you know what? I'll buy low. It's college football. Let's not be ridiculous. It will be, at worst, the sixth best conference in terms of quality of play. There'll still be some decent-sized markets around here. Probably going to have to prop up cap. Now, those networks can be wrong.
I see.
I'm not really sure the Pac-12 is going to exist. But I wonder, though, if the Pac-12, if obviously they're able to present to potential teams that are currently in and maybe some newcomers, if they're, hey, listen, we have TV all the way until 2035. DRS, that can then maybe give them a puncher's chance at keeping around some teams.
Yeah, it actually ends in 2024, the same year that both UCLA and USC are set to depart. Yeah. So I don't know who's getting excited. Like, you know what? But you're right. It's that upstart company that says, we'll overpay just to get network programming on our network, which is a crazy thought process where if you're the Pac-12, you're going, they don't really want us, but they actually need us, even though our product isn't going to be sufficient because, hey, we want to have as many as three more schools or four. Like, what are we doing here? And then also with the flip side of it, the Big 12 looking to take on some Pac-12. I think, I know what they're trying to do is what I'm trying to say here between conferences. You can't be left out and say, okay, we lost UCLA, USC. Let's just stand pat for a few years because other schools are going to run. Like, the Pac-12 knows right now the schools are only beholden to themselves at this point. Like, hey, Pac-12 pride and, you know, we this conference of champions, that's out the door. There's no real Pac-12 anymore because your two flagship programs left. So everybody's in it for themselves. And the fallout is going to be tremendous because you are going to get, hey, we're looking at, I don't know, San Diego State. Like, who cares at this point? Grand Valley State or whoever, like, you're trying to get in bed with at that point. I don't know where it goes, but it's kind of funny where you're trying to negotiate. Can you imagine that, too? Like, hey, USC, can you guys, wouldn't you guys just hold off? Like, if you would have just made that announcement 6 months later and we closed the deal on this thing, what did you want us to do? We had no idea guys were leaving us here. But now you want to talk about worst-case scenario, and it looks like, hey, no problem. These two guys left. We're still negotiating out here.
Yeah, like, you got to think, right? You have to think if – I'm trying to come up with a good example without – maybe going too far with it, right? But it's an upstart sports company. If they had tremendous backing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if you see it there by chance, Donnie. Some of the, like, what is the current per year Pac-12 contract?
12 for $3 billion. Chance? 12 years, $3 billion.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing with something like that is, right? So what does that break out to? Let's see. What does that break out to yearly? You got the calculator there?
Yeah, let me put it. My calculator doesn't. I got to get my phone calculator because the
phone calculator
one doesn't
even
have
that high.
It has to, doesn't it?
Yeah. The phone one isn't going that high. Hold on.
All right, hold on. Let me see. Let me take this. So we'll go three. Yeah, I don't know what crazy phone you got. I mean, can't, the iPhone's terrible. Yeah,
$250 million a year. JP on it. Our numbers guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the problem with something like that is, who can? Yeah. So okay, let me ask you this. Okay, Donnie, what if it goes for $100 million, 10 year, $100 million, $1 billion deal?
Yeah.
Like. People are bidding on that, right?
Yes, but because people need content. Like, these content is the reason why you look at some of these, you know, oh, Pac-12, how could they get this, or the MLS, is because you have to fill out those spaces, and companies can sell ads based on that, but you need programming. You can't have like a sports channel per se and be like, hey, well, we're only live 6 hours a day. See what I mean? Like, you got, hey, we'll fill that need. We have, you know, women's tennis and, you know, track and field, because you need all that stuff to go through with the network along with, you know, the grade A, which would be the basketball and men's basketball and also football. But somebody's going to need it. Like, they're going to drop significantly what the worth is, but they're still going to be there. But the fact of the matter is, are you looking at the Pac-12 differently now than you did a week ago? Absolutely. Like, okay, we always got – what was the always thing I used to root for here in the past couple of years? Somebody beat Oregon. Somebody beat Washington. Like, I don't want to have them wind up in the playoff because the division or the conference stinks and they just make it by default because they go, power conference, you got to let us in, which they have a right to. But at the same time, it's like, well, we don't even know if you deserve it at that point.
And I'm trying to – see, this is where – so can we pair this, Donna, with the story that I had sent you, all of this conversation now, the Big 12 angle of this? So the latest report is that the Big 12 is in discussion to add as many as six Pac-12 teams. Now, you would think, right, like Oregon and Utah probably holding out, trying to see if they can do Big Ten, SEC, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But not if the can the Big 12 stay viable by basically being like, listen, we have 20 average to above average programs, and that's good enough to survive?
Oh, I mean, for them, yes. But for the college football market, I don't care about any of those teams in the Big 12. Oh, man, it's going to be Arizona stinks. Arizona State stinks. Colorado stinks. Oregon's a decent program. Utah, decent. And Washington used to be decent. Like, you're telling us, so the question would be, these teams going to the Big 12, do you look at the Big 12, let's just say they're all in there next year, which they're not going to be. Are you excited about the Big 12? No, not at all. Like, doesn't move the needle at all. Like, nothing. You know who used to move the needle? Oklahoma. Yeah, they moved the needle. Now they're not there anymore.
Right. Texas moves the needle. But let me hold on a minute, though, because how many teams are in the this is going to be a dumb question if the answer is 12, but usually these things aren't.
I don't think it is now, right?
Big 12? Hold on.
No.
One, two,
no,
three,
not.
Four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, so there's 10 in right now, and they're losing two. But remember, DRS, they gained four teams. In Cincinnati, Houston, again, UCF and BYU. Again, those are four respectable programs. That puts you back at 12. Let's say now you add six teams, right, with this Pac-12 thing. I mean, look, again, you can say you're not interested. Here's what I would almost do, though, Donnie. If they do go, maybe, I don't know, would it work? Could they seclude themselves and just be a viable league almost then, the Big 12 league? With a, if they're 20 teams deep?
I would love it. Take them all out, because I don't care about any one of those football teams. If they were their own league and not with the NCAA, you're right. I would support that wholly just to remove them from any thought. Like, I, you know, it used to be like you'd say to yourself, oh, you got to fight for the little guys. I still do. I used to enjoy it much more than I do now. Back when I was like really just a straight up handicapper. Like, I used to love Max Sunbelt. you know, all that stuff. That was sensational.
Yeah.
But if we're just looking from a fan perspective where I'm saying, okay, I'm spreading my wealth around to all these leagues, give me the Super Conference in college football. And I always date back to the same thing during COVID where the news was, looks like the SEC is the only conference that will play football in, what was it, like 2020? And I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. And I would love it, and I would enjoy it to the max, and they would have center stage, and it'd be great football every single weekend that I wanted to tune in, where I wasn't like, hey, what games are on today? Do you want to watch Air Force and Colorado State? No, I don't. Now, maybe I want to bet that if I had an angle and be fun, but just from a fan perspective, the Super Conference makes so much sense where they say, all right, there's like a 30 or 40 team league where we're putting the single biggest schools in and let them go at it the entire year. It would be the version of the NFL for college, and I'd be all here for it. You want to talk about every single week, maybe even a little bit better than the NFL in a scheme-wise, because the NFL, we still have the really good teams and some poor teams. You take the top 30 teams in college football and just have them play each and every week? Wow. Like, are you kidding me with the ratings of that?
It does, obviously, on the surface sound fantastic. I've always wondered what that does to the recruiting balance. Because a part of me thinks it could even things up a little bit, which might sound crazy. Maybe it's wrong, though. Could be wrong. I'm not. Because, again, like, Vanderbilt doesn't recruit better than BYU. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So now there will be bottom feeders, Donovan, that will just basically be there.
It's a great point you bring up now, because let's take a look at the opposite side. The super conferences get together. Is there a world where these conferences go, Vandy, you served us well. You know why we had you in here, right? Not because your baseball team was good, which nobody paid attention to anyway. It's because the GPA. You gave us a good conference GPA here. But now you're no longer useful to us. Because correct me if I'm wrong, whether or not Vanderbilt stays in the SEC, they don't care about that on their bottom line. Alabama, sure. Texas A&M, Florida, sure. But if they had a rumbling, because can you imagine, like, you know, you talk about Texas leaving the Big 12 a couple years ago. And do you remember the original deal that Texas cut? We're going to give you guys way more much money than anybody else just so you stay and you stay happy in conference. Can you imagine if Vandy's like, hey, we're an academic institution. We're looking to get out of here. They seem like the paperwork just got delivered yesterday for you to sign on the dotted line. Good luck to you.
But I'm saying even beyond that, right, of let's just say, you know, what are we, the 40 super conference league, right? At some point, cream rises to the crop. I don't know if you really would end up with 40 great, I mean great, but I feel like the bottom 10 might all be garbage. I think you could still run into that because now it's condensed. College football, I don't think, is meant to operate where everything is spread evenly. It just doesn't operate in that way. I think the idea that we're getting at is, okay, everything's going to be fantastic and highly competitive there. But I don't know if the talent would be spread evenly. You really might end up maybe killing more programs than you create.
Well, they might, which would in turn lead more of these kids to say, okay, I'm an elite Division I athlete. Am I going to the Big 12 where I have no chance to like play in front of big TV sponsors and, you know, go to national championship games in their playoff? I'm going to win some like offshoot NIT like playoff. Like, that's not what they want. Like, those kids want to go to big schools, but also begs the question again, the Vanderbilts, the Kentuckys. I'm not even like Kentucky's a decent football school, but if you're looking at the top 30 in the country or top 40, you might be having like, hey, you guys got to really try out for us here to see if you are willing or good enough to stay in the moment here. And also, we're talking about traditional powers that you figure, if aren't as good right now, have the ability to be great. We'll be right back here on Moneyline. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money.
Short segment here before the top of the hour, right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network. You know what time it is, Donnie. Kevin, teaser time. Seems like JP hasn't picked a game in weeks. Now we have a nice card out today. So as I bring up my Major League Baseball card, I wonder what it's going to be. An over, an under, a side. JP, where are we going today on the Major League Baseball card with you?
Going right back to the totals again.
It's a good move. It's got to be an over. Don't you think, Kev, got to be an over?
Wait, was his most recent play when he bet against the Yanks and won? Was that Thursday when he went money line, went Astros, and came out a winner? I think it was.
Yeah, that was my last one.
Why? I don't know. Oh, yeah, but will you go back to the money line or just didn't jump off today?
No, I'll happily go back to it in the future, but today, total.
Mm. All right.
So we got a total today. Also got somebody. Yeah. No, go ahead. You got a nice little Twitter thing. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. I was just going to say, I was telling Donnie about my first total of the baseball season over the weekend. Mets came in on a Sunday. But what do you got over there?
No, I think somebody hit me up over the weekend talking about JP's 45s again or something like that. It was pretty fun. The people are keeping that going, even if JP doesn't want to. And there's tallies out there going, all right, the 45s.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the Astros and the Yanks have played like 4 or 5 games since he tried to go under one of those games, like under the premise.
Yep.
And they've all gone under since he took like the one over. So it's been I don't know. He created a movement and jumped ship right away. Very interesting move.
Yeah, another interesting game, which we're going to talk about also in hour number two. You'd figure both of these pitchers with names, like, ooh, I don't know if I want to bet into Chris Archer or Michael Kopech, but at this time, not very good pitchers out there on the mound tonight. So even though you see some pitchers with some headlining names, I want to fade them a little bit. We got our guy Kikuchi on the mound today. Also, Yanks back in order against Jose Quintana, the battle of tumbling junk left-handed pitcher versus a team that crushes those type of guys. We'll see if it plays out. And also, I'm going to tell you why, K-Dub. Max Scherzer, Lodolo, why you want to get after Lodolo today. And he can't get right-handed batters out. You'll get that much more here in the next hour right here on Moneyline.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.